Okay. Okay, so let's do more tumas kohanim, okay? So let's just go over what we talked about last time. So we're going to be talking about tumas meis. A lot of things cause tuma. We're only concerned with tumas meis. Right? Right, we said a kohen is prohibited from contracting tumas meis. So let's, first of all, tumas meis causes tuma. If you contract tumas meis, anyone, not Yisraelim also, you become tamei. You need then to wait 7 days. On the third and the seventh day, get spritzed with the Parah Aduma water. Okay, we don't have Parah Aduma water anymore. And that's the only way you can become tahor from tumas meis. And it's not limited to kohanim. Kohanim have a prohibition of contracting tumas meis. And the Yisrael, according to the Rambam, that means every one of us, is prohibited, midaraisa, to cause willingly a kohen to become tamei meis. You can get malchus, lashes, for that, right? So we're all prohibited from causing a kohen to become tumas meis. We'll see why that's relevant. Okay? So we talked about there are different parts of a mace that are relevant for this. And so what I mean was, we made a list, right? Different parts of, that are related to the dead body that are going to be tummy. The reason that there's a list is because each segment will have different rules and ramifications. So there are different types of how do you contract tumma? Meaning, how do you become tummy mace? You remember, there are three different ways.
Maga, masa, and ovel.
Right. Well, those are the types of things, right? How do you become? So you have maga, masa, and ovel. Right? Maga means direct contact. Masa means indirect contact, meaning you're carrying it. That's the Gemara's case. Masa means to carry, but you're not actually touching it. And ohel means under the same roof. So there are two types of ohel. There's ma'ahel. And oh, and shama. Ma'ahel means to be above or below, right? Directly above or directly below that which is causing tumas meis.
Is that like if you're in a building that has multiple floors and it's on the first floor and you're on the second floor?
No.
What does above or below mean? You're not hovering over something.
Yeah, let's say we're in an open field, right? Let's do Olam Shaka first and then we'll do Ma'ahel. Olam Shaka means I can't be under the same roof.
So that should include all of mine.
So let's say I'm outside in the field.
Then you're not under the same roof.
Right. So can I put my hand over the recorder if the recorder is telling me this?
Oh, so that's... So
now I'm ma'ahil. You can have ma'ahil without a whole
shop.
It goes all the way up and all the way down. Rabbi Shechner once to Mechadei said it goes up Adla Rakia. And that's the language of the Mishnah, the Rakia, right? In the Brachos, in the other idioma. Right, the Ansukhsar, right? The Vayikra Hashem La Rakia Shamayim. The Rakia is the, as my son learned in first grade, the spread out sky. Whatever that means. And God called it the sky. So if you're above whatever qualifies as the Rakia, maybe you'll be Tamei Meis. So, for example, you could be Ma'ahil without being an Olam Meis. So let's talk about things that become Tamei. A dead body is Tamei, right? So can a coin fly over a cemetery? You're Ma'ahil, but not Olam Shach, right? So Rabbi Shechner wanted to, in his big fan of Son, he wanted to suggest that if you're above the Rakia, wherever you want that to be, maybe it doesn't reach that high. The problem is sometimes in Israel, Ben Gurion Airport was right next. All the flights used to take off to America, I'm pretty sure all the flights at least, that are going directly to New York at least, would take off and would go over a cemetery in Lod.
In Lod?
Which is right next to Ben Gurion Airport. And that's well before it hit whatever Shechner wants to call the Rakia, it's on its way up. So that was certainly a problem. They rerouted the flight since then. We'll talk about planes if we remember. It's not actually on the list, but if you want to talk about police, you can talk about planes because that's going to be relevant for several different issues. Okay. Fine. So those are the three ways that you can cause tumma. Okay? Three and OL is really two. OLM Shach is the most interesting because it's going to create the most problems, right? Because, okay, so a coin can just not touch a mace and I don't have to. I don't have to take a piece of mace and touch him with it, and I don't have to put it under him or above him or make him carry it directly. Olam Shacha is much more broad because it encompasses much more area. We'll talk in detail what an Olam Shacha is. Suffice it to say right now that it is a contiguous roof, right? You and that which is causing Tumas Meis, we'll make a list in a minute, are under the same contiguous roof with no chatzitza. Right? So you have something called a chatzitza. We'll talk about what that is. A chatzitza is something that prevents tumas meis from spreading. Okay? So long as it's open, you have one big ohel. So I believe, and this is not scientific, that the largest, anyone guess what, I mean, it's my opinion, what the largest ohel shacha in the world is? Airplane's pretty big, but airplane hangar is pretty big. Come on, yeah. No. Let's get creative here.
There's the place in Beijing, the Tiananmen Square, which is the biggest public.
But it's not roofed. Is it roofed?
Oh, no, there's no.
Has the biggest roofed, contiguously open structure.
Because Seattle. Yeah.
No, the building is not contiguously open. Doors.
I'm saying.
Let's say doors are a problem. This is contiguous. Nothing goes through. No, I believe it's a New York City subway system. The New York City subway system has many, 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 many tunnels that are all contiguously open. There's nothing preventing, right? Everything flows from one to the other. It goes into Herald Square. It goes into Madison Square Garden. It goes into Grand Central Station. It goes into some PATH trains. It can get you into New Jersey. It can go into Brooklyn.
But there are openings.
Not where there's contiguously roofed. You're right. So where the used to be the D train, whatever now goes over the Manhattan Bridge. Manhattan Bridge doesn't count, right, because it's open. But the N and the R go in tunnels to go from Manhattan to Brooklyn.
The N goes over...
I haven't done it in a while. I used to live in Brooklyn. The N and the R used to take tunnels, and the D and the Q used to take the bridge. Regardless. The tunnels are roofed, right? The PATH trains go through, and some Metro North go through tunnels in the city.
But if you're saying that a chatzitza is something like...
We'll talk in detail what a chatzitza is. As long as it's open. So long as it's open with the same roof, that's one tunnel. So the tunnel, the whole length of it is open.
Right, so shouldn't technically the biggest building, that's bigger than the university itself?
Well, no, because each floor is going to have a stairwell which has a door on it. So if the stairwells are all open, it might be larger, yeah. Rarely does it happen as fire
pits. A stairwell with doors would make it a separate...
A door is a chatzitza. We'll talk about why a door is a chatzitza. Let's just assume for a moment.
Under the same roof.
No, it has to be open. It has to be open. It's not open. We're not open to the hallway. Right now.
The roof? We're still under the same roof.
You're right, but it's not open. It needs to be open. It needs to be able to flow. That's the rule. There's no... The door, we're going to assume, it's my focus shot in pass. We're not going to get into this. Whether a door or not is a chatzitza, we pass whether the door is a chatzitza. It's very important. So if there's tumas meis in this room, and we close this door, it will not spread to the hall. And then we open the door, it will spread to the hall.
How much does it open it?
Okay, so you have to open it. So let's talk about that. Okay, how do you spread all... So it needs to be contiguous, meaning you have to have the same roof. And no chatzitza. In order for something to be considered open, it has to be a tefach al tefach. So a space of one tefach. Like one tefach. Which is a lot smaller than this. But it has to be a space of a tefach by a tefach. Not a square tefach, but a tefach al tefach.
So those kinds of, they put up these big, an annex or something. But they put up these walls, and it doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling.
Okay, so let's say it doesn't go up to the ceiling, but so let's say a real wall, not a wall that collapses. A wall that collapses is a temporary wall that may not count. Say a real wall, or like a bathroom stall.
Well, it's not even an apartment, you put up another wall.
Right, or like a bathroom. So if it has a space in it. So let's say this grade, those walls in that tefach will tefach. If I add up all the space, will I get a square tefach?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't care. You need one tefach, buy one tefach. Right? Because I always thought of Tumas Meis like a viscous vapor, sort of like gas or maple syrup. So it needs to fit through that space. If it can't get through that, that's what I think about it. If it can't fit through that space, it doesn't go. So the fact that you have a square tefach here doesn't matter. So if the wall has a square tefach above it, but an empty space, it travels. Okay? So when the door is opened enough and there's a square tefach of space, it's going to travel. Not travel, it just spreads instantly. It doesn't like take time. The word travel or spread, it just... Not like a gas, right? It doesn't take time, it spreads instantly.
Okay, but would it be considered tame if it goes out the window?
So let's talk about it. What happens when it goes out the window?
It enters a...
Does it go into... Does someone standing in a parking lot become tame?
No, because you're no longer under a roof.
Right, no contiguous roof. You need a contiguous roof and open. Outside there's no roof.
Maybe you're still underneath it.
Where are you? Where's the film and where are you?
You're in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm holding the
paper goes over the parking lot.
No, it can only travel on the contiguous roofs.
Fine.
It's a very strange type of maple syrup.
And
yeah.
When you say that you have to be the concept of ma'at being over or under it, that's the actual object, not the viscous vapor.
Yeah, you have to be over or under it. Also, so not only, yeah, one second.
Sorry, I just want to make myself, what are the two words, the two types of ohel?
Ma'ahel, it means mem aleph hey yud lamed, to be above or below, and ohel hamshacha. Hamshacha means to pull or to spread. So interesting. So we talk about different things that are chol, right? In order for tumah to spread, it has to be a contiguous roof, and the space has to be a tefach al tefach. That's actually an important detail. Also, so what else can be chotzeitz b'fnei atumah? Something that cannot mekabel tumah, we're not going into that. Can be chotzeitz b'fnei atumah. Something that itself can become tameh cannot prevent tumah from spreading, which makes sense. Like the door. The door is connected to the building. Anything connected to the ground should not become tameh.
You can't make a door of people.
Right, let's say I'm standing here and I'm blocking the space. Well, I become tummy.
Yes, a tree.
A tree's connected to the ground.
Yes.
So it can't become tummy. Anything connected to the ground cannot become tummy. The building cannot become tummy. The door is connected to the ground according to the shop, cannot become tummy.
What if you put one of those four liquids on?
No, the seven liquids, not relevant. Let's say I'm standing in the door, and I'm a very big person, but magic or always, and there is no space half around me. In the door frame. It doesn't matter because I can become tummy. If I can become tummy, so I become tummy, and then the tumah goes right through. Okay? Also, a space of a tefach, of a cubic tefach, is chotetz bifnei atumah. Right? What does that mean? That means if I have tumah in a box, right? And the box is very large, and the tumah is small, and the tumah is inside the box, and the box is outside. Okay? If I put my hand above it, am I tummy? Am I ma'ahil? No, the box is made of cardboard. No, because the box itself is chotzeitz, because there's an airspace of a tefach al tefach al tefach, like a cube, right? You need space now. It's not just... Right here, we needed an area, and then we need a volume. So you need a volume of tefach al tefach al tefach, like a cube of a tefach above the tumah, prevents the tumah from spreading.
How do you know where in the box the tumah is?
I looked for you. Okay. I mean, we know. It's see-through.
Then we know that the box is like X amount.
Yeah, you know. If you didn't know, you may have a problem. If you're a Kohen. So, for example, the reason that this Ohel HaMshacha in the subway is important. So, one of the things that causes tumah is a skull. An intact human skull causes tumah. Causes tumas Ohel. So, in medical school, in dental school, sometimes in PT school, you get a skull to take home to study from.
Just the skull.
Sometimes you get a couple other bones. I don't really see why you had to take home a femur to look at. Like, it's really boring. They give you a bone box. It's like a fancy box.
Ossuary.
Hmm?
Ossuary.
Oh,
it's not like a bone box that they
buried
in back.
Oh, this is like a wooden box. So now a lot of them are plastic. Some of them are real.
You were taking it back.
So I didn't, because like I thought that was weird. But the reason you do it is because the skull's really complex, and like the base of the cranium, like under the brain. Like a million, not a million, has many, many different holes, and each hole has a name, and each hill and valley has a name, and everything's named, and you will be tested on each and every, like, centimeter of the brain, of the actual skull. And so it takes a really long time to memorize it, and it's a little bit hard to do when you don't have it in three dimensions, like just from a book, because when you have it in three dimensions, it's a lot easier. So you're not allowed to cause a coin to become tummy. Right, that's Issa D'Oraisa. If I take the skull and I touch a coin with it, I violate Issa D'Oraisa, I get Malchus. Right?
You said an intact skull, though.
Yeah, if the skull's not missing, like, big chunks.
You meant intact for the body.
No, not for the body. We'll talk about things that become tummy, so I'm just saying a skull, which is relevant.
Why does it matter if half is missing?
We'll talk about it in a second. Just trust me on this one for a minute, because it comes up with an interesting chumra that I like. So, you're not allowed to, so when you want to know if it's what I'm doing to violate Issa D'Oraisa, if it's certainly going to violate Issa D'Oraisa, I'm not allowed to do it. Right? What if it's probably going to violate an Issa D'Oraisa? There's more than a 51% chance that what I'm going to do now is Issa D'Oraisa.
You can't do it.
So it's prohibited. Min HaTorah, you can't do it. What if it's only 40? Suffik D'Oraisa L'chumah, right? If it's a suffik, it's doubtful whether what I'm about to do in any event is going to be more than a 51% chance. It'll be an Issa D'Oraisa, you're not allowed to do it. The Torah prohibits you. What if it's 40% chance?
Then you can.
From the Torah's perspective, you can't. You're allowed to. The Rabbanan said, you're not allowed to. Unless it's less than 10%. Right, there's a miyat hamatzui. This comes up a lot, so let's write it. Miyat hamatzui. A miyat is a minority hamatzui that is prevalent. So prevalent minority. Machlokas, what what level that is, 7%, 10%, 14%. Mishnah Yaakov says 10%. Most people go 10%. We're going to go with 10%. The Rabbanan said if there is a 10% chance that what you're going to do, meaning the Rabbanan take cognizance of 10%. So if there's a 10% chance that it's going to, what you're going to do is prohibited, you're not allowed to do it midrabban. Right? If it's more than 50%, it's midoraisa. Less than 10% is permitted. So I came up with the following chumrah, which I'm very proud of. I like this chumrah. Because the New York City subway system is the largest ohel in the world, or one of the largest ohelim in the world, and it extends to Grand Central Station and Herald Square and the shopping center and 34th Street and all over the place, during most hours of the day, there is a 10% chance that there is going to be a kohen somewhere in that ohel, which means you're not allowed to take your skull onto the subway. Right? Because if I bring my skull onto the subway, maybe there's a 50% chance there's a kohen there? I don't know. I'm guessing that there's at least a 10% chance that there is a kohen, this is New York City, that there is a kohen somewhere in one of those ohelim, one large ohel throughout the day, at least for most hours of the day. And so during those hours, certainly during the business day, you wouldn't be allowed to bring your skull on, because if you brought your skull, you're making that whole area tamei. And if there's a 10% chance there's a kohen doing it in there, well, any kohen that's there, we all become tamei when you bring the skull onto the subway. Kohen becomes tamei, he violates the prohibition unknowingly, and you have to assume that let's assume that it's true, that there's a 10% chance there's a kohen there, you shouldn't bring it on.
Can you flip it around and say that there's at least 10% chance there's a dead human corpse in one of the areas of the subway?
And therefore a kohen cannot ride the subway.
Yeah, ever.
I don't think you have to face this, but there's a 10% chance that there's a corpse somewhere.
Yes, I mean, there's a whole.
Okay, if you
if it would be true,
it's going to stay there, and no one's going
to
realize.
If it would be true, I mean, this has to be like reasonable. I think it's reasonable.
If someone were to investigate and check a corpse,
and then you take it out.
It's been there for like a year. Now you have a chashad. You take it out.
That there's another corpse.
That you have know that people die all the time, and they're
and their bodies get left there.
Homeless people, or maybe they get. I don't know.
You're asking Matzias, Shiloh. What's the Matzias? I don't know, we gotta find the subway investigators. I mean, I guess you'd ask this would be a police question. It's a question of Matzias. If there's a 10% chance, meaning, if there's a chance that there's gonna be tumah there, you can't go on. You're right. Do you have to be concerned that people die? I don't know. I don't know if that happens.
That's true.
Then the kohen couldn't take the subway.
Why do we consider the subway to be an OL at all? Because only because it's underground. It's yes, it has a roof, but it's underground.
Doesn't matter. Contiguous roof.
But say, usually when we think of a roof, we think of something that's outdoors.
Doesn't matter. Anything contiguous. So a beam. If there's a piece of wood that's a tefach wide, that is above the two of us, that's an ohel. Anything that's a tefach wide becomes an ohel, as long as it's sturdy and it's not.
So technically then.
Because of that leaves. What about trees? The trees count as an ohel.
But what if they're using. So what if they're using the earth itself as a roof? Since that can't be.
Doesn't matter.
But if that can't be makabel tumah.
Doesn't no. The OL itself doesn't have to be makabel tumah. No, the OL itself it's not relevant. It's just the thing to block it. The question?
Yeah,
first
question.
The question? I mean, you might. If you're right, then you're right. I just don't know. I don't think you have to be concerned until someone does some investigation. I mean, I don't think you have to assume that there are dead people everywhere without like good reason.
No, but I think it's safe to because it's so big. It's safe to assume that there's at least one. Too much mace.
I don't know. It's possible.
Like, do medical students often take these things home?
So I don't think so. This is completely conjecture and speculative now. Most medical students live on campus, and so they usually don't take the subway to go home. So out of those students who get a real skull, some get plastic, and they live off campus, and they don't find it disturbing to bring this thing back to their place of residence. I don't know that happens so often. Okay. I lived in the Heights when I went to NYU on 34th Street, so I took the subway every day, so I thought about this. I did not take the skull home because my wife would not deal with that. But again, you'd have another problem, not only bringing it to the subway, bringing it to your building, which is a problem when you have other Jews in your building who are Kohanim, and sometimes people don't realize this. Yeah?
What if you put the skull in the bag or the container?
Right, so let's say you put the skull in the box, right? This box that has a tevach al tevach, put it in the big box. Right, so the Rambam says that in Oel, remember when I snuck it in, but when we talked about the box, I said you're outside. The Rambam says that a box, an Ohel toch Ohel is metame. So if I have a smaller Ohel in this room, a box, it's metame the whole Ohel anyway. One olal tof another olal to the tameh. So as long as the larger olal is, if the smaller olal is consumed within the larger olal, you're stuck. So let's say in a funeral home, right? You have the casket and the mace is there. And so how much space is between the mace and the box? Let's say it was an old lady, a thin lady. There's more than the tameh halacha, so can Kohanim come in right now? They can't because of the Rambam's olal tofov. It's one ohel, the coffin, inside another ohel, the room, and so the mace is still in the tameh room.
But if there's another thin little box around the...
So the question is, how far does this Rambam go?
Ohel
tofov, 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 tofov,
it's unclear to me.
Everyone I've met assumes this Rambam to be correct. I don't know why.
I understand why, though. If the box... There's a
tefa, he says that's the way it works. You're right, it's chotzeis. It does create an ohel. It's chotzeis. It creates an ohel. For the Rambam, in order to have a shame ohel, in order to have an ohel, you have to have a space. Otherwise, it's not an ohel. It's just as if nothing, it doesn't exist at all. But when it's consumed within the larger ohel, you're stuck.
But we said that the smaller ohel can be, the ohel itself can be chotzeis.
When it's not within another ohel. Meaning, as regards a ma'ahil. So if it's inside that smaller OL, and I'm not under the same roof as it, we're outside in the field, and I put my hand over and I'm not ma'ahil. But if it's within the larger OL, in the end, the tumah is in the larger OL. You can't get around that. It is.
Doesn't seem so.
Right, so the rabbi, almost everyone accepts this. Now, the problem with the funeral home is going to be a second problem. So we sort of cheat a little bit. There's another way that tumas mace can create tumah. So any questions about that, the skull in the subway? See how that makes sense? I mean, you don't have to agree with the statistics, but if those statistics are true, it makes sense, yeah.
Why is it a box in the ohel?
If there's a space of a tefa ohel. So is a mobile ohel, is an ohel zarub, which may ohel, meaning a movable ohel might not be an ohel. So a movable ohel, we assume, is not an ohel.
So this box has to be attached to the ground.
So, no, it has to be attached, it just has to be not moving. So let's say you have a box in the subway not moving, you're right.
Oh, so it just...
When the box is moving, it doesn't count anyway. So an ohel that's moving is not an ohel. So, let's say, I don't know, you can come up with all these weird cases. So let's say they want to create this, you see there could be problems in the hospital for Kohanim, right? Someone dies in the hospital, there's a problem for Kohanim. So, okay, let's just quickly, I'm trying to figure out how to do this best. Okay, so in terms of what is tame, a human body is tame, right? That's the simplest level. No matter how big, a body is tame, okay? So you have someone in the hospital who dies, so what's the problem now? Oh, I won't touch the body, I won't be ma'ahil on the body. What's going to happen, though?
Tumah's going to spread.
Tumah's going to spread as long as the door to his room is open. Right, so I can close the door. Let's say I close the door to his room. Tumah only spreads while it's there. You're right, it's too late. Everyone who was there is tameh.
Like before?
No, you're right. Once he passes away, the whole place is tameh, and all the kohanim violate a prohibition. Now, they're not allowed to continue to violate the prohibition. They have to leave. Or I can close the door. So let's say I close the door. Yeah. Exactly. So how are we going
to
transport him out? So they wanted to create in Israel. So in Israel, there's a big problem. So let's say I close the door. Right? Let's say as he dies, I put up a sign, I'll call on him, leave. When I close the door, I'll put up a sign, call on him, come back in. So that's, you can't do that because of Softa Malatzes, which we'll talk about in a minute. So that doesn't work. But in theory, yeah.
I wanted to ask really quick about what we were just discussing. So if you had, Ma'ahil can apply if you carry the skull in a box. In other words, if you put your hand over it, because you're,
did you violate ma'ahil as well as olam shacha, and the box is not moving? Because if the box is moving, it's over.
What do you mean it's over?
Meaning an olam that's moving doesn't qualify as an olam.
Okay.
So you have to have the box standing still. No, once the box is still, we're talking about when the box is not moving, right? You're waiting for the subway. So I don't know. I don't know if you'd violate ma'ahil. You'd violate olam, so you'd be an olam shacha, you'd be tameh anyway. Are you tameh ma'ahil also? Maybe not.
About the continuous prohibition of the Kohen.
Yeah. We'll talk about that separately.
How can you just close the door? The tumah already spread out.
So he's coming now. And when I close the door, he's not violating it anymore.
Does that mean it's no longer in the hall?
It's no longer in the hall. It only spreads while it's...
The door,
yeah, it's over. Right? It only spreads when it can do so. So I need to get the mace out of the room. So as I transport him through the hospital, I am just moving tumah throughout the hospital.
But if it's moving, you said if something's moving.
No, an ohel that's moving doesn't qualify as an ohel. This is the mace, he's moving. He's in the shroud, he's moving, right? He's covered with the sheet. The sheet's not an ohel anyway.
So
they wanted to create... maybe, yes. They're not really moving.
You could put him out the window.
I could take him out the window. That's not going to work, practically. Not, right? But, okay, you're right. We'll talk about taking him out the window in a minute. Okay, we have to... Let me just... I'm just going to start making the list of things that I want to get to, so you don't forget. So, Sof to Malatzes. Malatzes, we need to talk about, and one other thing we talked about, Reinhard, continuous prohibition, we'll talk about that. What else was there? So we'll get back to it. The window stuff to Malatzes. We'll get to it. Okay, anyway. So, they wanted to create the Super Tumah box. And the Super Tumah box was going to try to obviate all the rules of Tumas Ohel, and you put the mace into the Super Tumah box. And, right, you put the mace into the Super Tumah box and then transport it to the hospital. So the problem is, regardless of, you got rid of all the other problems with the Rambam is in the Ol Tachol. Right? As long as the Super Tumah box is, let's say, the moving's not a problem for the Super Tumah box, for whatever reason. And it's not, and there's a chatzitza, and they came up with it, and it's made of this, and the mace can come out, so Tumah Latzeis is taken care of. You take care of all the problems. As you're walking through the hall, it's, right? So the Super Tumah box is still in the hallway. So it's a greater problem. Of all the problem. Okay. So, right. So we talked about, so let's talk about, we'll talk about one more thing. So let's talk about Sof to Malatzes. And then we'll talk about what causes Toma. Aside from, a dead body causes Toma, but other things may cause Toma as well. So Sof to Malatzes. Sof Tumah Latzeis means that the Tumah will eventually come out, broadly speaking. Okay, anyone, everyone heard of Sof Tumah Latzeis? No? Okay. That'd be better. So Sof Tumah Latzeis means that this is a hospital room, someone dies. Right? And the door's closed. The Tumah doesn't spread outside. Right? That's what I said. However, we are going to transport this mace to the elevator to take it out of the first floor. So we are going to eventually open this door and take it to the hallway. Even though the door is now closed, because we are going to take the mace, and we know now that we're going to take the mace out into that hallway is coming in. From Sof to Malatzes. Okay, whether that's the Reis or the Rabbanim is not focused on them. But that is already Sof to Malatzes, and they call it as prohibited from becoming in contact with or contracting Sof to Malatzes type of Tumah. Okay, so Sof Tumah Latzeis works in either one of the following. Either we.
Not just the hallway, but the whole hospital.
So, no.
Why?
Sof Tumah Latzeis works in the following way. We look at all the doors as being open. Okay? We look at all the doors that we will eventually open as being open.
Oh, so you're saying only the hospital's.
Only then, with no. Of all the doors that I'm going to open, this one, and then down the hall, and then down the hall. So let's pretend they're all open right now, even though they're not. So what would happen? Tumah would spread, right? Only under contiguous roof. Right? So let's say, you know, the Truma Sadeshan was asked this question. You know, they're going to take all the mace and eventually out of the city. They didn't bury people in the city. All the cities had like a wall, and they had a fancy shahr to the ear, a gate to the city. And there was a guard sitting in the gate, and the gate was had this fancy gate, like the gates of Yerushalayim, sort of, right? So, what about the Shar, let's say Shar Tzion, the old city of Yerushalayim? Shar Tzion is close. Shar Ashkot, whatever. Shar Ashkot was on the gate. The Shar Yaffa, whatever, has a roof, yeah? So, a person dies in a house in the old city of Yerushalayim, and you take him out, and you can push him out of the city, right? There's no cars. So, is Shar Yafo now Tamei Sof Tumah Latzeis? Is the guard who's sitting in Shar Yafo under the roof Tamei Sof Tumah Latzeis? What do you think?
Yeah.
The Tumah will eventually be there.
Yeah, it is big enough.
And it's big enough. So no. Because let's say it's as if we opened up all the doors. So I opened up the door to his house and I opened up the door to the Shar, right? So let's say that happened right now. Will the Shar become Tamei right now? No, because there's no contiguous roof between the person's house and the shower. If so, there's no Sof Tumah Latzeis. When the mace will eventually get there, you're right, it will be coming. Right? When the mace will eventually be under that shower, he will be coming. So
the guard has to leave for a second?
Well, if he's a Kohen. Yeah.
Okay.
Meaning, so you have a roof, I mean, here's your house, and here's the shower. It's not contiguous. Right? But what happened was, is that they had these Apparently in Europe this was common. So we're going to try to draw with perspective.
I thought you were going to say the city itself, because of the walls makes it a continuous.
It's not, no, it has a continuous roof, only continuous roof. So the houses used to be on the trimester in like a row. Right? Or something like that. And there were a lot of houses like this, yeah? And they all worked together. Okay? The houses were all touching. And they had a canopy or like some awning. Right? Does this make sense? That's the house with the. So they had like an awning going like this above all the doors. Okay? Everyone sort of make that out. I mean, they have a shared awning. All the attached houses have a shared awning. In fact, very, 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 very similar to what's exactly across the street. And I look at it. If you look at the yellow house and the beige house, right, see how they're touching? And that awning is touching. And they sort of, the awning is sort of shared, maybe not. But it sort of looks like that. So that could work for us. So let's say someone dies in this first house, and his door is closed. So everyone is fine, right? However, we're going to take the mace out of that house. We're going to open this door over here, right? The minute I open this door, Tuma is going to spread underneath this whole awning. Everyone's awning, right? Because it's open.
But only during that time.
Only during the time. No, then it'll spread for real, right? When the door's open. So now, even when it's closed, Sof Tuma Latzeis will get this whole awning. And anyone who opens their door then, the Sof Tuma Latzeis will enter their house.
So is there a way to like detubitize that?
Get the mace out. So what they would have to do, so let's say someone dies in this first house, right? And they're calling him in the third house. So long as the mace is in the first house, they're calling him in the third house can't open the door. Right? The mace is in this house. The house is coming because the Tuma is spreading in the house.
The first house is closed.
Even if it's closed, the awning has Sof Tuma Latzeis, right? Sof Tuma Latzeis spreads just like regular Tuma. Sof Tuma Latzeis will spread in any contiguous roofed structure. So, let's think about it, okay? So let's... I have my house here.
Where's that Katita?
You're right, so the Tuma doesn't spread. But it's Sof Tuma Latzeis spreads.
But, right, so the awning becomes...
Right, so let's think about it.
He opens his door...
The Sof Tuma Latzeis comes in.
No.
It does. But it spreads.
But his door does not need to be opened.
Right, okay, so let's think about it. You're right. So let's draw this bigger. Oh, well, let's leave it, actually. So where does the Tuma go? So the guy dies here. In the first house, right?
The Tuma's in the first house and the awning.
The Tuma's in the first house.
I'm saying
the physical Tuma is in the first house.
But the awning is Tuma.
Misof Tuma Latzeis, different rules. The house here, the first house, everything in the under the first house's roof is Tuma, Tuma's mace, Tuma's elbow. Any questions? Door is closed. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. The minute I open this door, everything under the awning is Tuma, Tuma's elbow, correct? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
If the door is closed, the awning is not Tuma, Tuma's elbow.
But you're
going
to have to open it.
Well, hold on, we're doing it slowly, okay? Because I know I'm going to open this door, right? I have to think about that now. Sof Tuma Latzeis says, pretend all the doors are open.
Right.
All the doors, that's why I want to be careful. I wasn't careful about this before. All the doors that you need to go through with the mace are open. That's the difference. Only the doors that you have to go through with the mace. So I have to open this door, eventually. So Sof Tuma Latzeis will spread through this door even while it's closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
To any contiguous roofed structure. It will go under this awning. It will not enter the third house. Because the mace will never go through here. We only pretend the doors are open where the mace will eventually go. Or we think the mace will go, at least. Where we intend to take the mace. So even when the mace is in this room, Sof Tuma Latzeis will not enter this third door even while it's closed.
Is Sof Tuma Latzeis a lesser degree of Tuma?
Maybe.
And why do you say even while it's open?
While it's open, it will spread because it spreads under any contiguous structure.
Oh.
Sof Tuma Latzeis says, not only open doors that you will go through, but it spreads. You don't have a choice. So, when I open this door, the first door, and the Tuma spreads underneath the awning, right?
It was already there.
Well, no, the Tuma's Ohel as opposed to Sof Tuma Latzeis. Sof Tuma Latzeis was there, Tuma's Ohel was out there. There's a difference in maybe in terms of degree. Rav Shachter wants to argue that there's no Sof Tuma Latzeis by Nanjing. Okay, maybe there are differences, and according to some Rishon, we grew up on them. So there's a difference. So when this door is open, the Tumas Aval spreads under the awning. If you open the third door, the Tumas Galut will spread inside, right?
Not because of Sos Tumalatsa.
No, right.
Because it's just regular.
Right. So, when the first door is closed, under the awning is Sos Tumalatsa. So Sos Tumalatsa will not enter the third door. Everyone get why? Sos Tumalatsa says, only open those doors, which you will eventually take the mace out of. I'm not going to go back into the third house. So I'm only going to open the first one. So under the awning is Sos Tumalatsa, yeah? Mm-hmm. If I open the third door, even while the first door is closed, Sos Tumalatsa enters the third door, right? So a Kohen who's in the third door needs to keep his door closed. So I had this problem. I didn't, but someone in my building, so there was an old lady who died in my building, my apartment building. And the stairways are open. There's no doors to the stairways. So Tuma is spreading from top to bottom. And assuming there's Sos Tumalatsa by non-Jews, so I have a friend who's a Kohen who lives on the fifth floor. So he could not go to Ma'ariv that night because he couldn't open his door. So long as his door was closed, the Sos Tumalatsa did not enter. And when they took the mace out eventually, also, the Tumas Ola won't enter. So he had to keep his door closed until they took the mace out. So this is just practical. No one's a Kohen.
If his wife accidentally walked in?
No, I called him.
Okay.
So
I called him and told him the same thing.
So hypothetically then, if the mace, there's a mace in the first house.
I mean, it worked. So let's think about just in my apartment for a minute. So what happened in my apartment building? The lady was in her room, in her apartment, and she died. And for some reason, there were cops sitting there with the door open for a long time.
Well, either way,
door is open, Tumah is spreading throughout my whole building, right?
Even if the door's closed.
You're right. So then Sos Tumalatsa is spreading through my whole building.
What?
Then Sos Tumalatsa is spreading through my whole building.
Right, I'm saying Sos Tumalatsa or Tumah is still.
So when the door is open, Tumah is spreading through my whole building. When her door is closed, Sos Tumalatsa is spreading through my whole building. A Kohen cannot come into that, so he cannot open his door because he'll violate the prohibition. What's the question?
So. In this corner that we have here, once they open up, so even before they open up the door, the mace is mixed. So Sos Tumalatsa is spread to the owner,
mm-hmm.
the larger one. Then once they remove the, whatchamacallit, the mace.
Everything's over.
Everything's over.
Yeah.
So then you can open the door.
Yeah. So what they used to do was get the mace out of there really quickly.
Right. So in a hospital then.
You can get the mace out of there really quickly.
Right. You just.
Doesn't happen.
What?
So let's say in the hospital. Oh, sorry, friend, do you have a question?
Yeah.
What's your question?
Well, that's interesting.
So let's say in the hospital room, right? The patient dies in the hospital room, and the door is open. So Tumas mace spreads to anything that's contiguously roofed, right? The staircases in hospitals usually have doors for a fire code, so you're not going to get any other floor. But you'll get the whole floor that you're on, right? Assuming that no other doors are open. So you get the whole floor that you're on, so the door is open. The minute the door is closed, the Tumas doesn't spread anymore, right? There's no Tumas Oa. But there's still Sos Tumalatsa on the whole floor, right? Because you will eventually take that mace out. Now, Sos Tumalatsa, this is why it's a little bit of a lesser form of a tumah. Let's say the room has two, let's say, here's the mace, and this is a door, and this is a door, and this is a door, and this is a door. And this goes outside, and this goes outside. Okay?
All the rooms interconnect.
Yeah, I'm in the middle room, and there's a door to go into either one of the outside rooms.
So the hotel.
With side rooms. And then, but each door goes outside. Each one of the outside rooms goes outside. Everyone make sense? I think, right? I can't, okay? So I'm going to take the mace either this way to go out of the building, or this way to go out of the building. So what happens? So the doors are closed. So this area is Tamei Tumas Oa, right? Everything's closed. What about Sos Tumalatsa? Where does Sos Tumalatsa go?
You decide where you're going to take out the body,
yeah.
And then that becomes Sos Tumalatsa.
Yeah. You have the ability to. That's why I said intend before. You have the ability to decide which way it's going to go.
Well, if Sos Tumalatsa is a Darabanan, then.
Even if it's Daraisa.
Well, if it's Daraisa, then you should say that both of them are.
Both of them are. Even if it's Darabanan, both of them are Tame until I decide which one I'm going to use. Once I decide which one I'm going to use, Sos Tumalatsa only goes through which one I'm going to use. It would not intend to go out. So if I intend to take the mace out of this one, out of this way, so this is Sos Tumalatsa, and this one's completely Tahor. And if I intend to take the mace out of this room, so then this room is Sos Tumalatsa, and that one's completely Tahor. You have the ability to intend. There's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, what happens, right? So he said, look, the guy dies, and I don't know which way I'm going to take him out. I'll decide in 5 minutes. So what about right now? What's the deal right now? What's the din?
They're both coming.
And then I decide I'm going to go out of the room to the right. So what happens to the one on the left? It's Tahar now, right? What happened to the stuff that was there for those 5 minutes?
It retroactively is Tahar.
So it's a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. So given that one of them says that it retroactively becomes tahar, they want to say it's drabbam, because that would have worked in the right way. Well, it was tummy, and if anything there was tummy.
You open this door and everything in the hallway is tummy.
It's tummy. So it doesn't stop.
When you close the door,
so it doesn't continue to spread, but I'm still tummy. I'm tummy. Once I'm tummy, I'm tummy, I'm done. It's done. Once you're tummy, you're tummy. The question is, what if more people walk into the hallway now? Right? So what if more people walk in there? So then they won't become tummy. So they want to say that the fact that one of the opinions is that retroactively it's no longer tummy, this part's not so important, that's why it's drabbanan. Okay, so.
But it's almost like, so if you decide to go the right, to the right as opposed to the left, then after 5 minutes of deciding, then after 5 minutes, the right becomes tummy and the left is no longer tummy.
Right, it's either no longer tummy or it was retroactively never tummy. That's my focus tonight.
But if it was retroactively never tummy, then you shouldn't, then in the 5 minutes of deciding, you should never, then you should never,
Well, I only know now it's retroactive, so it's something that I know now.
So, that so, then, focus oh, so you're saying then that in the 5 minutes...
Is it my focus tonight?
In the 5 minutes of indecision...
Everything's tummy.
Everything's tummy. So then a Cohen walks in during those 5 minutes into the left room.
Right. So he's not allowed to walk into the left room. But so does. Does he have... Right. Let's say he does. Does he need to go and get Paraduma water on day 3 and 7? According to Basil, no.
If he goes right, if the nation goes right, then no, he does not.
Right. But that's my focus tonight.
But he's tummy in those 5 minutes.
We treat him as tummy until the decision is made.
And then it's just removed.
It never existed to begin with. We treat him as if he was tummy.
Very paradoxical.
No, we act as if the tumma is there. Right? And then we find out, oh, it wasn't. Let's say you think you're tummy and you go on living that you're tummy. Right, and you do all those things that tummy people do, and then it turns out that you weren't tummy.
There's a thin line between making it a boundary or like a protection that we don't want to become tummy, and actually saying no, he actually has a status of tummy.
Right, he has a temporary status that might be removed shortly, which is why they want to say it's drabbanan. Okay, yeah.
Consider that area too much mace? We consider it is too much mace.
It's a different status though. It might be Durabhanan. It might be Durabhanan status of too much mace, according to some Rishonim.
Okay.
And your Shekhar wants to say, and other Rishonim wants to say that it doesn't apply to non Jews. So if you have a non Jewish body in this room, according to your Shekhar, and these doors closed, the Kohanim are okay in that room, in the hallway, but they're not alone here.
So there's like a lesser form.
Maybe. It's a different status, it has different rules. So some of those different rules are either for non-Jews, maybe it's for home. And you have this ability to like sort of choose where you want to go. In this room, we're kind of stuck in one door. But the fact that I can choose where I want to be might help. So this helps, let's say, in the hospital where you always know that I'm always going to take the mace out of this part of the hospital. It never goes this way.
There are multiple paths to a morgue or whatever.
So a morgue gets complicated, right? Because let's say the guy dies on the 16th floor. So a person dies on the 16th floor, and his room is tummy. Right? Everyone agree? Tumas ohel in this person's room? Questions? No. Door is closed. Right? Sof tumas lotzis in the hallway. Right? I open the door to his room, tumas ohel in the whole 16th floor. Now I get into an elevator. So what's the status of the elevator? Do I look at it as if the elevator doors are open?
Well, the elevator is moving ohel.
So while it's moving, it doesn't count as an ohel. Does the tumma go into the elevator before the doors get... So let's say, for example, so does the tumma enter the elevator, right? So we say we pretend all the doors are open, right? And there are four elevators to choose from, and I don't know which one it'll be, right? Because I don't care which one it'll be. So they're all tummy, right? They're all tummy right now. Cohen cannot enter any, assuming. So do I look at as if all the elevator doors are open right now, and therefore sof tumma lotzis into the elevators? Let's say the mace is in the room and the door is closed. Or even if the door is open. So the whole 16th floor is tummy, right? What about the elevator door? Do I look as if the elevator door is open, and then the elevator car is tummy?
It should be the entire pathway towards
under. Okay, so now it has to be under contiguous roof. So now there's a very small detail that we're not going to get into this. I wrote a very long article about this with a friend of mine, Rabbi Yaakov Jaffe, in the last 2 Asiyas ago. We want to say that it's not true because it has to be under contiguous roof, right?
It's contiguous.
Oh, the elevator isn't.
No, well, let's say the elevator car is there. and open. I want to claim now that I'll draw this.
But it's not contiguous roof.
It's not contiguous because
in order for an elevator to work,
you have to have a space.
It's also, there's definitely a tefach in between the...
No, there's no tefach. Tefach, you'll fall, you'll get your foot stuck. Right? Between the floor...
There's like a centimeter.
There's a space, right? There has to be a space. Otherwise, the elevator couldn't go up and down. It'd be friction, right? It's less than a tefach. It's when it's less than a tefach that there's a machlokas rishonim if the tuma can jump that gap. Okay? It's a machlokas of maharam and the rope. So the tuma can't jump a gap. Tuma can't jump gaps. It's not contiguous. It's not contiguous anymore, right? So I have the elevator car here. Right, and here's the floor, right? Or I guess it's here, right? Here's the floor, and there's this gap that's less than tefach that we normally just step over, right? The problem is that there's an elevator shaft. The elevator shaft goes up around the elevator.
Right.
So this is sort of open, right? And we're gonna come into the elevator. And this dead guy. Generally, the people laying down are dead. So does the tumah enter the elevator because of the elevator shaft? We want to claim it was a machlokas rishonim, and we want to claim the Shulchan Aruch Paskens that it does not. And therefore, even when the elevator is open to the floor, and the doors are open, and the mace is there, tumas oil does not enter the elevator.
But it's the elevator
less
shaft.
Than, yeah.
The elevator shaft is not a contiguous room.
It's contiguous.
So you're saying the shaft definitely becomes...
No, I want to claim no, because this space is less than tefach.
You want to claim that the elevator, no, but do you want to claim that the...
Yeah, because Tuma needs a tefach to enter. This is less than a tefach, I can't get through. It's stuck. It can't go up, it can't go through.
Oh, okay.
Right?
It needs a tefach to enter.
Tuma needs a tefach by a tefach to move. It can't move unless a tefach or tefach.
Right.
So here's less than a tefach. So it can't get it can't break through this hole.
It can't get through there.
It also can't jump the gap.
So no, but that's because of the opposite reason. That's not the same reason. That's the opposite.
It can't jump any gap. It can't jump gaps. Period.
But there you're saying
it can't fit through even.
Okay, so here there's a physical gap, and there's an air.
Yeah. So I want to claim that it can't, because if you disagree with me, and you think the elevator car is sof to malatze, so let's think about this now. So, someone dies on the 16th floor, and whether the door is open or not is irrelevant, right?
Right.
If the door is open, the whole 16th floor is Tamei Tumas Oil. If the door is closed, the whole 16th floor is Tamei Sof Tumas Latzeis, right? If you disagree with me, that means that all four elevator cars are also Sof Tumas Latzeis, right? Because let's say you jump, this can jump the gap. Now, the person dies at 10 o'clock at night. What time do you think they take out the body? An hour and a half.
Don't they?
No, the Chevrachadish is coming. An hour? So all those elevators, all four elevators now throughout that hour, are going up and down and up and down and stopping on every which floor. Creating and carrying with them Sof Tumas Latzeis, opening every single floor, right? The Sof Tumas Latzeis is now spreading to every single floor that they open to while they're open. Right? So when the elevator, all four, I don't know which one it's going to be, right? Because I don't really care. So all four are coming. So when that elevator opens up on the fifth floor to take somebody else, the whole fifth floor becomes Sof Tumas Latzeis while that door is open. Right? While the door is not open, the fifth floor is not going to become Tameh because the mace is never going to go there, right? But while that door is open, if the elevator car has Sof Tumas Latzeis in it, it will spread whether it likes it or not to the fifth floor. And all four elevators will be carrying with them Sof Tumas Latzeis all day to all of the floors, right? Until that mace eventually goes into one of them, which is a big problem. So you don't have to agree with every step of that, but it's a potential problem. So my solution stops that. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on your solution that I'm just confused about the point you're making?
We'll talk about it after. Leave the solution out of it. I'm just going to claim for the moment.
Can it
jump this gap? That's the only one
so
you know.
We say that Tuma can only travel if there's a tefach by tefach.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't we say earlier that... So with the chatzitza, we said that there has to be less than a tefach by tefach opening or to prevent...
Yeah.
But
you need a tefach to travel.
So because there is a little bit of space...
It can't jump any gap.
Right.
Right? It can't get into the elevator. Now the question is, can it get into the shaft? The answer is no, because there's less than a tefach.
Right. So then, with this solution, then
The 16th floor is Tommy and nothing else is Tommy.
But the problem with your solution is that there is, in fact, a contiguous route between the floor and the shaft.
Right, but there's less than a half off. So he can't get in.
But the roofs are connected.
But you have to have contiguous and open. Right? This room is contiguous with the hallway.
Right.
But it's not open, so the Kumo doesn't spread. So set it there. The Kumo won't spread because it's less than a tefach. You need a tefach and tefach opening. If you got a tefach opening, you fall.
Right. Okay.
So the question was, what happens when someone pushes a gurney over the block, right? If someone walking in into the elevator, so they're covering the gap. As you're walking in, your body covers the gap.
You're not covering the whole
gap. Yeah, but something else.
That's moving can create a temporary OL, at least to cause a chumro, but if it's a gurney, we're not going to get into that. We can talk about it later. It's through the article. It's fascinating.
Your solution solves the whole...
No, the 16th floor is still a problem.
Why?
The 16th floor, the whole floor, it's spread. Forgetting the elevator. The person's dead on the 16th floor.
Oh, fine. I'm saying just for the other floors through the elevator.
Yeah.
In other words, there's no source terminal lock space into an elevator according to your solution.
Yes. Okay. Fine. So that's Tumas OL, which is... very complicated, a lot of details. You certainly don't have to know this. But I think it's interesting. Okay. We're going to assume that let's only talk about Tumas Ohel, real Tumas Ohel, and Sof Tumas Lotzeis. Only on the 16th floor, right? We're not going anywhere else. We're on the 16th floor. Also, the problem, just this would be, let's say you're in the elevator and you're going to visit your daughter-in-law just had a baby. Mazel tov, right? So, is there Bikur Cholim to go visit her? Technically. Are you really going to go help her out? Well, you're the father-in-law. You're just going to Shepnachas, right? She's healthy. She doesn't need you there. Right? She's going to come home tomorrow. So you're not doing any mitzvah. So we're not going to, right? Maybe you could violate a mitzvah. You're not doing any mitzvah here. So you're going to the labor, you're going to the postpartum floor. There's no mason on the postpartum floor, we hope. And you called ahead of time. You spoke to the nurse.
What's postpartum?
Postpartum is after you have a baby. There's a floor for these women. Hopefully nobody should be dead on that floor. Right? There should not be any famous mason on that floor.
In the
nursery, you called up ahead and checked. Okay. Usually the babies that are going to die are in the NICU, which is on a different floor. They're on the peds floor, usually. Or at least NYU was, that way. So you called up ahead. But you're going in the elevator, and the elevator opens up to the floor that has a pathology department. And you're in the elevator, you're not getting out. So if you don't accept my solution, you're coming. Right? Because I come and jumped into the elevator while I was up there. Fine. So we'll talk about the right bit next time. What causes Puma? Right, this is... Okay, so we said a mace, a body, right? It doesn't matter how big. Well, it doesn't matter how big, right? A baby causes Tumas mace, and an adult causes Tumas mace. So we're going to talk about practically, where do these things exist in the hospital, yeah?
Morgue.
So the morgue itself.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
So the morgue causes is Tumas mace and so Tumas lotzeis, right? And you can, right, the morgue has bodies in it always, and... you can have other floors that you have to have Tumas Mace, right? Just regular floors of the hospital. You can have other floors. What else? So where else you have full bodies is one other place.
Autopsy room?
Autopsy, morgue. Usually next to each other. It's convenient. So full bodies include fetuses. A fetus that has a recum evarim. Whatever this means, recum, evarim. Evarim means limbs, recum sort of means they're like formed. So a fetus that is recognizable as a fetus is mitame ba'o.
So where is the fetus?
Anywhere they do an abortion, a more than like 2 to 3 month abortion, you're going to have a problem.
What's that be like?
They don't do it right, so wherever in the hospital they're doing the abortions, you may or may not have a problem with tumor. Right? Because the baby, the fetus, is metame ba'oel as long as it looks like a fetus. Whatever recum evarim means, wherever that means, it means that limbs are recognizable, it's metame ba'oel. Right? It's a full body, it's metame ba'oel.
They'll do an abortion up to any stage of pregnancy?
Not in this country.
But they do all abortions in the same area, regardless of the... assuming it's legal, they do it in the same room. There's no 2 month abortion versus.
Right, yeah. Yeah, okay, so. But it would depend if it's like if there's an abortion after 3 weeks of pregnancy, there's no tumor.
I know, but I'm saying.
Let's say what you have to be concerned with. I'm saying what causes tumor. That causes tumor. That you have to be concerned that they're doing it's a different question. What? So wherever they're doing this, they usually don't do it near. So this question comes up. So the Cohen wants to go to the hospital for what reason? He wants to be a doctor, which is a big problem because he's there every day. He wants to go visit someone who's dying, right? So if he's actually helping save his life, it's Pekuach Nefesh, we're going to let him. He's going with his wife to have a baby, right? Common question is, you're going to visit a friend. So going with your wife to have a baby is one of the most common shailas you get, because there are many more Kohanim who aren't doctors than are. Usually, they will not perform abortions anywhere that women are having babies. Just usually, right? Could there be an ohel hamshacha between the two? Yeah, it depends on how the building structure, you couldn't know. But they usually don't do those in the same place, and so you usually don't have a problem. But an aborted fetus that has Riko Mevarim will be Matamei Gaol. So what else causes Tumo? Let's say not a whole body. So you have Basar Min HaMeis, means flesh. And in order for flesh to be Tame, you need a Kezias. Only Kezias Basar causes Tumo. And where do you find a Kezias Basar?
Organ donation.
Organ donation we'll talk about, yes, organ donation. If I'm taking the organ and the person is dead, right, from a cadaver, so that organ is basar min hameis, right, it's flesh, it is, and it's larger than kezias, right, because we wouldn't, maybe an eye is less than kezias. But let's say a kidney from a cadaver is mitamei ba'ol, and it will cause tumah. Now, what about the patient who needs that kidney? What about him? So it's pekuach nefesh, so we're going to let him. But maybe he'll be tummy. He'll be like, you know what, I'm tummy, but who cares because I'm alive. We'll talk about that. So that's a machlekes, right? Rav Unterman said that the organ becomes alive again. So if it becomes alive again, it's no longer tummy. But so you have organ donation, right? You have organs and transport. Where is more common? Is the pathology lab?
Pathology
is where they study like diseased tissue. So every tumor or every whatever, right, from biopsies and tumors are usually from living people.
Usually what?
From living people, and, right?
So it's not tummy.
No, only basar min hameis is tummy. Tumas meis.
Like an amputated hand, that's not tummy.
Hand is different. We're talking about flesh, just flesh, no bones.
Well, but wait.
You only have muscle or flesh tissue, yeah. Because that's gonna be a problem. Aver min achai is also.
How do you find either? Well, what about like a kidney from a living person?
Not tummy. Basar is only from a mace. Good question.
It's like a tumorous growth is considered basar.
Everything's basar, yeah. Right? The other thing, if you're not basar, you're autonomous. Your bones, right? If you're not basar, your bone, right? There's basar, giddim, and atamos. Giddim are the long, stringy things. Long, stringy things don't cause tumah. If you just have long, stringy things on their own. Right? So if you're not basar, you're effectively atamos. So basar is anything that's not an etzem, it's not a bone. So from only basar min hameis, and etzem from a mace. Everything's from a dead person. Okay? So if you have basar min achai does not cause tumah. So if you're donating your healthy kidney, you're a healthy person donating your kidney, you want to live a longer life, you were told in class that if you donate your kidney, you will live longer than the average American. You may live longer if you don't donate a kidney, but you're a good person when you donate the kidney to a mitzvah. Your kidney does not cause tumah while it's in transit because you're alive. Okay, so what about bones? So bones are metame in one of several ways. So either when they represent the mace or when you have enough quantity. So I don't even represent the mace. So a skull is metame on its own. Right? A skull causes tumah because it represents the mace. Right? As long as it's mostly intact. Right? There's different shirim, not relevant. As long as it's mostly intact, it's going to, not missing a large chunk, it's going to cause tumah. So what about bones, just not a skull? So a whole skeleton, let's take a skull now. So a skull is metame b'ol. So let's say you just have a collection of bones. So a rova a kav. A fourth of a kav is a liquid measurement. It's about 20-something ounces, I think, according to most poskim. So 20-something ounces of bones causes tumah. I don't care where they're from, what part of the body, 20-something ounces of bones. Okay? Which is not that much by volume. Alternatively, rov binyan to rov minyan. We talked about this. We talked about this in the Gemara Paras Memhei. Rov Binyan means a majority of the build of the person, and Rov Minyan means a majority of the bones of a person. So we're talking about a baby, right? Right. The majority of the bones is, right, if there are 248 bones in the man and 252 in the woman, so you have to have, right, if there's 248, you have to have 125 bones to become tamei. If you have 125 bones, you're tamei, even if you don't have a rova hakav. So you're talking about a very small person. Very, 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 very small person.
So what's Rov Binyan?
So Rov Minyan means a majority of the number, and Rov Binyan means a majority of the build. So the Gemara assumes if you have like half of a person, you have like one leg and one arm and one part of the pelvis, so then like that's already Rov Binyan, even if you don't have a Rov HaKav. Rarely do these come up, because you almost always have a Rov HaKav. Let's say you have a smaller bone though, right? This is a, and this part's interesting, so you have an Etzem Kisaomer. A bone the size of a barley also causes tuma, but only maga, masa, but not ovo. Okay, this is important because we'll talk about it. It was an interesting article. So, right, an etzem kisaomer, a small bone, size of even a barley grain, is tame, but only when you touch it directly or indirectly. It will not cause tumas ovo. Okay? So a Kohen could not come into contact with it, but he could be in the same room as it. Okay, so this came up. There's actually an article in the most recent Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society by Dr. David Katz. He's a dentist in Teaneck. He had the following question, which we'll talk about in detail next time. So he's a dentist. So to do, based on what he was telling me, to do a tooth implant, you want to get an implant in, right? Because your tooth's gone. Hmm? For the jaw? Did I mention the jaw? So did I say this? I don't remember.
You said you need to take the piece.
You need to take the bone and grind it up and put it into the jaw, build up the jaw. So that's an etzem kisaomer. Right? It's not a rova akav. It's not 20-something ounces. It's only a rova, it's only etzem kisaomer. So is that going to be permitted or not? We'll talk about that next time. But that's where it's relevant, because then you have, right, because you're putting it in his mouth, it's going to touch him. It's not just going to be in the ohel with him.
What about bone marrow?
From living people.
All right.
No problem. And it's also life-saving. It's B'koch Nefesh. This is a B'koch Nefesh for the jaw. What else is Tame? Dam, blood, minamates, you need a revias. Right, the same amount you need to drink for Kiddush, and you need to drink 4 cups on Pesach. And blood, minamates, you need a rova, you need a revias.
What's rova?
Rova akav is a larger measurement. It's like 20-something ounces. A revias is probably 3.3 ounces.
Blood
is a revius halug.
Blood from a mace or blood in general?
From a mace. A revius means a fourth. A rova means a fourth. So this is a fourth. A halug is a fourth of a kav. Don't worry about how big they are. A rova kav is much larger than a rova.
I don't understand the difference we made about rova kav versus rova binyan.
If you have a rova kav, you're metame ba'al. Okay. If you have rova binyan, you're also metame ba'al.
But there's a significant difference in size between the two. Why is it insufficient to just say Rov HaKav is
Tameh? Let's say you have a Rov HaKav that's not Rov Binyan.
Then you're Tameh.
Let's say you have Rov Binyan that's not a Rov HaKav. Then you're also Tameh.
How can you have Rov Binyan?
If you have an infant, a really small, small, small infant.
A really, really small, small infant.
If you have the Rov Binyan, you won't have a Rov HaKav.
Of course you would.
Like 20-something ounces.
Of course you would. And if you didn't, then it wouldn't be considered a
No, that you would. You can, because the bones are much thinner. Okay. It exists. You should just know Rov Binyan. It's practically not relevant because you always have Rov HaKav.
So are there bone banks in hospitals? Where are we?
Yeah, so bone banks in hospitals. So, are there bone banks in hospitals? I have no idea. I don't know where they store these things.
And do they keep dead people's blood in blood banks?
No. I mean, if the person donated the blood when he was alive, then the blood doesn't become tame when he dies. Right. It matters when the blood came out of the person. Does the blood come out of a living person, or the blood come out of a dead person? Blood comes out of a dead person's tame. So Rov HaKav of Aksamos is tame from even more than one mace. Right? This is relevant for like some of the exhibits in Yad Vashem and in Auschwitz, right, or in some of the camps. If you have a Rov HaKav Atzamos from more than one mace, it's also tame, as long as you have a Rov HaKav together. Right, so if you have a bone bank, and each bone itself is not a robot governor from different people, it's still the closest to us OL if in that same OL you have a robot coffin hole. One more thing that's coming is Aver Minachai. We talked about this last time. An Aver Minachai. Aver Minachai means an Aver, whatever that means, from a living person. An Aver requires basar, gidim, and atzamos. Flesh, bones, and long stringy things. Right? So not kidneys and not organs, so not muscle. But a finger that gets chopped off is tamei, and it's metamei be'olel. It's an ever minachai. It's metamei be'olel. So what do you think? If a kohen gets his finger chopped off by accident, can he get it reattached? What are the potential problems? What are the problems?
Became tamei.
His finger is now tamei.
His finger is now tamei. So he got, it's outside. He got cut off. Okay, so
His detached finger is tummy.
His detached finger is tummy. He's fine.
Right. So you're asking, I'm saying.
Yeah. So A, can he be in the same room as this finger?
Can he put his finger back on?
Or can he reattach it? Because if he's in the same room as Thomas Ma'el, and when they attach it, it's Thomas Ma'el.
But it's the fact
there's that no Pekach Nefesh.
The very fact that it's his own finger should
doesn't matter. The Chasam Sofer is the Noda Bihud is clear. Ever minachai, you are tummy from your own organs or from someone else's aver.
The concept of ever minachai originated with Yaakov's kids, right?
No, ever minachai, that's Gid and Asher.
Oh.
Ever minachai is by Noach, right? The fact that it's tummy is not, that's a prohibition to eat ever minachai. That's different. The fact that ever minachai is tummy is different. So ever minachai is tummy, so what do you think? So once you reattach it, what do you think? Is it still tummy?
No.
So according to Rav Unterman, no. Right? According to Rav Unterman, it gets reattached. Blood's flowing. It's no longer tummy.
No, Rav Unterman doesn't apply because
once it's reattached, is it tummy or not? There's no Isra Hanam in a mace. It's not mace.
Right, but Rav Unterman was saying that once it's reattached, it's like a living thing again.
Right.
It was never dead in the first place. Every minachai.
Okay, fine. But it's tummy. So the fact is it now tummy again? If it could become a lot, meaning every minachai we're qualifying as sort of pseudo dead.
Okay.
Right? It's pseudo, because it's causing tumas mace. It is causing Tumas Mace.
Right.
So once you reattach the point of Linderman, it'll be fine, right?
But it's touching, isn't it touching before it's attached?
Yeah, so what do you do with that? And you're in the same room before it's attached. It's an Isser Daraisa.
Right.
So how are you going to get around that?
Then you can't reattach your own finger.
How do you get around that?
What's the answer?
So the Tzitz Eliezer gets around it. He says, wait a minute. It's Sakanas Aver, right? It's not Pekach Nefesh.
Right.
But you're Sakanas Aver. Your limb's not working right. According to the Shach, if you accept the Shach, you're allowed to violate an Isser Lav, a regular prohibition, for a Sakanas Aver. Thomas Cohen is a prohibition, a regular prohibition, which you can violate for a Sakanas Aver, he says it's okay.
Hold on, one more time, was this that according to the Shach, there
right, last time we talked about this, there's a Cholosh Yeshbo Sakana, whose life is in danger, a Cholosh Einbo Sakana, whose life is not in danger. Within a Cholosh Einbo Sakana, whose life is not in danger, you can have a Sakanas Aver. One of your limbs is in danger, your life's not in danger, your limb is not going to function right. The Shach says, according to most poskim, apparently not the Brisker Rav, according to most poskim, that you can violate a regular negative prohibition, meaning one that doesn't require an onesh misa, a regular, right, that you don't get the death penalty for, a regular negative prohibition for preventing sakanas aver. So tumas kohanim, having the kohen become tame, is a regular negative prohibition, does not entail the death penalty. And therefore, he says, you're right, he violates the prohibition, and it's mutter because he wants to get his finger reattached.
He says that you're not allowed to violate, you can violate the suri lada.
Lavin for Sakanas Aver.
Right, for Sakanas Aver.
So this is Sakanas Aver, and it's right. An Isser Lav, so it's okay.
But Isser Lavin.
All right? Yeah. Okay, everyone have a Gemar Chasima Tova, Tebushu L'Slicha, Mechila V'Chapara. Have an enjoyable Sukkot, Chag Sameach. We'll see everybody afterwards.